the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program here on a Wednesday. Who's going to win and what's the bet tonight on LSU and Arkansas? We'll go to ESPN Baton Rouge with Jimmy Yacht coming up in 30 minutes. David Sampson's going to be awesome in an hour. What's the overall game plan here for the Boston Red Sox as a longtime former executive with the Marlins? What was his reaction to that big deal? Mike Palm in studio later on. The great Eddie Olczyk, who was fresh off calling the Stanley Cup final from last night, and Matt Eumanns a little bit later on as well. So as entertaining and as great as the first two games were, Pauly, between Florida and Edmonton, it turned out to be not even a close series. And I'm stunned by that. And I can remember on the air I was saying, again, pick them to begin with the series price and the way it played out. I'm like, it went to overtime both times. I'm like, these two teams are clearly very even with each other. That was an incorrect comment, the way the series played out, because in the next, I would actually say 3.5 or more than that games, there was one team that was obviously superior, and it was your Stanley Cup champions. I mean, I cannot believe how they completely dominated Edmonton from game three until last night. That was alarming.
It's too bad. Game three, you shut off. Game three, I muted it and put Press Your Luck Scandal on, the documentary. And then we thought we had something epic here after three of the first four go to overtime. The incredible comeback by Edmonton. And you're right, three blowouts and how it ended. And it goes back to the slow starts and what is going on coming out of the dressing room and no sense of urgency. We wound up 9-0 Florida the last four first periods combined. Mm-hmm. Aggregate, 9-0. What happened?
Well,
falling behind.
You know what happened, right?
It
was your position.
Yeah.
I mean, if you flip Bobrovsky and Skinner, who wins the Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not that easy, but... Awesome.
Game two was huge, no doubt.
Game two
was on Skinner. I know. But everyone we talked to said it could be epic. It's going seven. Edmonton's got a shot. I bought in after the miracle comeback to tie it at two. Going back home, game five. The drought continues. Canada hasn't won it since 93. And these guys are just too good. And to go to the finals 3 years in a row, win it back-to-back, they were the one that was supposed to be fatigued and tired. They were the team, not Edmonton. And that's how it worked out and turned out as well, that they continued to jump on them. The third goal is just an abomination with that soft rebound.
Of course.
That's high school, what Skinner did there. So it's just so many guys that can beat you, too, in the depth. And what Reinhart did, and you got Bennett and Marchand, and so many guys could score, and they were good for four goals a game. You're right. What happened to the defense that was so good? What happened to the goaltending? And they couldn't hold them under four goals. And that also was the difference in the series. So I wanted a game seven. You know, for our business and as a fan, I wanted to see it Friday night. But how to just get manhandled the last two games and blown out was disappointing.
If Florida can keep this together going into next year, right, that might be a big if. Difficult to obviously have every single piece back from a two-time, you know, rainy defending champion like they are right now. But if they can have most of what we watched in the last six games back, they kind of proved here that, and as good as Edmonton really is, Edmonton was awesome in the West after dropping, you know, the first two games against LA, but what they did against the Golden Knights, what they did to Dallas, I don't know how that series would have played out had they gotten at Colorado. Maybe they don't beat that team.
Right.
But they're a very good hockey team. And then you flip it.
Dallas was easy. They toyed with Dallas.
Sure.
They should have swept them.
But you go Florida toyed with Carolina. And Carolina's really good. That was a complete mismatch. They absolutely did the same thing to Tampa Bay. I guess the most difficult competition they had.
Hello.
Yeah. Toronto?
I'm going to die on that hill. The biggest play of the playoffs was probably Bennett elbowing Stolarz in the head.
Yeah.
It's 2-0 Toronto. It's 3-1 in game three on a road midway through the game. And then you go to overtime and Marchand scores, but you got a backup goalie the rest of the way.
That's right.
Who's to say Toronto doesn't win that? I still think they win that series if Stolarz doesn't get hurt. But they have the great chance to go up 3-0 in that series, even with Wall in there. And it was that's maybe why Bennett should have won the Conn Smythe for knocking that guy out of the series, what he did.
Good point. So, I mean, again, if they run it back, And you know, all that talk was Toronto, they can't possibly bring back the core. Well, it turns out they were the closest team to Florida. Maybe that doesn't translate to next year, but I don't know. Is Colorado the closest team? And Colorado didn't even make it to the Western Conference Finals this year.
Mm-hmm.
Who would it be?
Yeah, well, they return a lot of guys, so that's why they're in the mix. But the Florida has to be the favorites. Again,
no question.
To the three-peat.
Edmonton, they opened up the favorite last night. Can't be. How?
No, can't be.
No way.
And I can't wait to talk to Eddie Olczyk, too, about what do you do now? I mean, you took a step back. You were down 3-0, but you forced a game 7. But last year, but what happened to the defense and what happened to the goaltending? I don't know what you do now with goaltending, what happens, and the big changes you make, or if you make a big trade.
Somehow, some way, they have to address that big position. They have to go out and get a brand new goaltender next year. They just do. Is that possible? They're going to have to make something work. The front office is going to have to be savvy. They're going to have to be smart. You can't possibly run it back again. You're not going to win a cup. Just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good enough to get there. But after that, and that might not be the case next year.
Well, maybe they see a different team, too. That's how they could look at it. That just Florida's just better. You know, if it was somebody else and there was a mini upset, maybe they win it. But that's, it's health. It's a war of attrition. How about how it comes out after the game, how many guys were banged up for Florida and playing with tough injuries? And that's what got them against Vegas. Vegas certainly was a better team 3 years ago, but all those guys for Florida, they were hurt, too.
Right. You know, Mike Palm, a couple of weeks ago before the Stanley Cup started on this show, he said he liked Edmonton because his thought was the best ones in the NHL eventually get over the hump and they win a Stanley Cup. They win a championship. And he was talking about Connor McDavid, obviously. Now, how about this stat from OptiStats last night after the game? Mm-hmm. McDavid is the only player in the NHL history, by the way, to have 9 straight 90-point seasons but not win the Stanley Cup in any of them.
Yeah.
And, again, Florida had the lead for, more than 220 minutes last night? And Edmonton led for 35 minutes in the entire final? That's not close. They kind of tricked us here, I guess, with the first two games because it had a chance to be an all-time great series, and it never panned out like that.
How about the Corey Perry curse? How bizarre
wild.
Is that?
I know.
5 of the last 6 years, he's been on the team that lost in the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
I mean, that's just what a kick to the groin that is, to be that close. And that's five just to do that. To be in position to do that, and you lose every single time.
Yep. Did they get it right with the Conn Smythe?
I think they did, yes. It was close, but I think that the right guy got it.
Here was the official voting for those who missed it. Sam Bennett got 11 of the 18 first-place votes, and he got 7 second-place votes. Brad Marchand got the other 7 first-place votes and all 11 second-place votes. So they were on every single ballot first and second place. But Bennett won because of the 11 first-place votes compared to Marchand's 7 overall. He won 76-68 in total points. It's awarded on a 5-3-1 system. 15 goals, tied for second most in a playoff in the Salary Cap era, and 12 goals on the road. The timeliness of Marchand's goals were amazing. And I don't know, maybe if he scores a goal last night, he wins because Bennett did not. But that is razor-thin. And we saw the tickets come in. You pointed this out, Jonathan. Great job by you, Jonathan Davis, as well, here on the network, saying that Bennett, and I saw the tickets as high as 100-1 to win the Conn Smythe. So that's a pretty good feeling for a lot of people who had that.
Brandon won $21,000.
That's a good bet.
You had a $750 bet on it. Brian had 30-1. Chris had 30-1. Jerry had 18-1. Keep sending them in, and we'll put you on tomorrow. And it's Mama's Pizzeria with the tip jar tomorrow, too. On the show. So great job, everyone who had it. And thanks to JD as well. Plus, there were some vicious beats, how that turned out. I mean, you're right. 110-1 was out there. 39-1. I think Jonathan Davis got 30-1 before the finals. And Reinhardt, with the 4 goals, leads the series in goals.
How about that?
A bad beat if you had Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Bennett was 23-1 to have a point in every game of the series. He did not have a point last night.
Oh, wow.
That was tough.
There's also this, what happened last night in the WNBA. So as a result of the games and how they unfolded, we now know who's going to play in the Commissioner's Cup. It's the Lynx against the Fever when they play. That's not going to be until July 1st. Nafisa Collier had her first off game last night in 19 minutes for Minnesota. And Caitlin Clark had another good game. She's down to plus 250 to win the cup or to win the MVP. If you think that Caitlin Clark cannot win the MVP, I think that is a reckless thought to have and maybe even a comment to make. And all you have to do is look at the video that came out last night. What are the other women in this league doing? Why, since day one, to not fully embrace Caitlin Clark and how she completely upgraded the level of life you're going to have as a player in this league, and how she is treated, like slapped and poked in the eye. She kind of retaliates a little bit, and then two women come in and hit her, and the one girl pushes her down to the ground. You're going to go back to flying on a helicopter to get to your games. You're going to be taking train travel, women, ladies here.
Yep.
It's what you cannot possibly, if she's eliminated from the game, good luck. Nobody's going to care. And it goes back to last year with some of the all-time greats of this sport, just killing her with her comments. And it makes no sense. And this is like Tiger Woods when he came on the scene and when he started to take off. Do you have any idea what lifestyle he's given you now as a guy that just completely created something different that we've never seen in that sport before? That's what Caitlin Clark is doing for you.
Yeah. The jealousy and treating her like a punching bag. Your success and longevity it goes hand in hand with her and coincides with her being around and putting up big numbers. And just look at the ratings.
Sure.
Before, when she's hurt, what happens when she comes back, and you're going to treat her like that? What everyone has said over the years, and then it's one girl shoving her, the next girl runs into her at the forearm shiver and knocks her down.
Beth.
The other thing, too, I thought Stephanie White was great, the Fever coach after. Everything's improved about this league except the officiating, which gets worse. They have no control over the game.
No clue.
None. And then
no one's suspended, by the way.
After that free-for-all in Donnybrook as well.
Yep. All right, become a VSIN Pro subscriber. Get an early bird special here. Full VSIN Pro access until the Super Bowl for $175. NFL betting guide, which is going to be out soon. Daily best bets, exclusive betting splits as well. All you have to do is go to VSIN.com/subscribe. Major League Baseball card is up next. What on earth is going on in the Bronx?
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Full baseball card coming up tonight. One game in progress. Just started. First pitch in Seattle moments ago between the Mariners and the Red Sox. Good pitching matchup today, Paulie. It's Crochet for Boston going against Castillo. And Brian Wu was awesome again last night for Seattle. 7 strong. And Cal Raleigh, ooh, 6 more RBIs and a home run.
What's he going to put up? 50-110? 50-120?
50, yeah, I would say that he's on pace to blow by those numbers, yeah.
Yeah. 27-60 right now, yes.
There's a lot of baseball left. Is that sustainable for a full year? We'll find out, because you kind of need to see it for a guy to get to like 50, 55 home runs before he actually does it to believe it, you know? But, and the baseball appears to be dead from a lot of accounts. Mm-hmm. Balls are dying a lot. Not as many home runs overall.
Messing with the balls?
For sure.
Good question for Samson.
Yep. Yeah. And there's also a game going on right now in the College World Series in Omaha, and Louisville is trailing Coastal Carolina 8-1. It's late in that game right now.
Coastal will go to the title game. Be 25 wins in a row.
Yep.
Machine.
So later on tonight in baseball, the Pirates are at the Tigers. We had an over in this game yesterday. Tigers exploded 4-7 runs. Skubal is obviously a monster favorite in this game. I'll give you some numbers with him. For those who like to play props and maybe his K-props, just assuming that it's going to be an automatic over on him today, because it's 8.5 over some plus money. He has had 7 or fewer Ks in 3 consecutive starts. And I went back and looked at every start this year. He has cleared 8.5 Ks in only 5 of 14 starts this year. Now, on the flip side, left-handed starters are 13-4 over their K-prop against Pittsburgh on the season, because they can strike out a lot. And for what it's worth, opposing starters here, and it's Haney going tonight for the Pirates, opposing starters are on a 17-3 overrun with their K-prop against Detroit. Pretty good.
Yeah.
So, but
Skubal, pretty good. So numbers are ridiculous, too, what he's done the last 4 games.
Is this something where, like, the first 5 total is 3.5? Again, he allows basically nothing. Would you look at a Pirates team total? First 5 under, maybe game under, or would you look at maybe just for the game, first 3 under 1.5?
Well, no, I don't trust Haney. I think the Tigers could touch him up.
Right.
And how a lot of the guys, look at what Baez did. I'm glad I mentioned that. He's so good against lefties, 2 home runs. That could happen too.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. One prop I like, good writer from Joe Osborne, Rodriguez outs under. 6-0 to the under on road games. They're in Toronto. We know Toronto's so good, they don't strike out. Great come-from-behind win last night. But I don't – how many pitches will he get to? And certainly that's a big ask. Good breakdown there. I think Rodriguez outs under 17.5. And maybe he gets out of there early and the Blue Jays get to him and that game goes at 4 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah, we had some pretty good numbers and strong thoughts on Brandon Pfaadt yesterday, and everything that we talked about did go under. So that ended up being a good result. How about the Rockies at the Nationals? Marquez on the year has a 6.62 ERA with a 1.66 whip. Those numbers are actually much worse on the road, believe it or not. The ERA is almost 8 with a whip of almost 1.9. But they're getting Mitchell Parker tonight. His ERA is nearly 2 runs better at home than on the road, but overall in the season a 4.84 ERA. And we've seen this now in the first two games. Clearly, the Nationals, they've lost both games, but they were also like priced to the moon against a bad Colorado team.
Caesar Sportsbook tweeted this out. Is the quote real where the interim manager said, "Don't let us get hot"? Is that real?
Oh, I hope it is.
He can't make that up. He's using your – he's
that's
stealing
my,
your
he's
line.
He's stealing my big salads now.
Yeah, right. Sure. Absolutely.
Does he listen to the show?
But that's – I think that's real. He said, like, don't let us get hot. But this is a team that's lost 10 in a row and this bad cannot be laying this price.
No, they opened up –
and the Rockies trying to get 3 in a row
they
against
were, them. Looking at the overnight lines last night, and now it's come down significantly here, but it was touching almost $1.80 on the Nationals.
Yeah.
Now, this is much more manageable here. It's $1.45, and the Rockies, rather than being, like, plus 160 or maybe in a bit higher – they're plus 130. You still have to like take a big gulp here. And if you're going to, plug away and go plus 130 at this point on Marquez, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't disagree with the line move though. Mm-hmm. At a much bigger number, which what it was last night and maybe a little bit earlier this morning as well. Certainly I agree with the market move here on that one.
Yep. Move on Atlanta too. They're up to 195 at DraftKings. Sale against Blackburn. Tough one for the Mets. Blew it in the eighth inning. Mets and under becomes Braves and over. That's brutal. But since May, Sale 3-1 with a 1.19, 61 Ks last 7.
Oh, he's been striking out everybody.
Uh-huh.
11.94 batters per 9 on the season. That's his highest mark since 2019. The K rate is almost 32%. He's had 4 double-digit K games on the year, including 2 straight. He's had 8 or more strikeouts in 8 of his 14 starts, but all 8 have been in his last 10 starts because he got off to a slow start on the year. I will point this out, however. The Mets are awesome at limiting strikeouts. That includes going against lefties. And I'll give you some notable lefties against the Mets on the year. Recently, Mackenzie Gore last week had 6. Crochet only had 5. Max Fried had 8. That went over. Carlos Rodon only had 5. So I'm not going to bet Sale over his K-prop tonight, even though it's plus money at 7.5. And he has been absolutely on fire. And what do you want to do here with the Yankees tonight?
How can this keep happening?
They haven't scored a run since Saturday.
Yep. 29 innings.
But, you know,
it's a joke.
There's also more to it than that, Paulie. So it's 3 straight shutouts, but they also lost 2-1 in 10 innings on Friday, and they won 1-0 at KC last Thursday.
Oh, good call.
So that's how bad the run has been here.
Yeah. Angels in the top 3 in ROI, by the way, on the season. So that's here's another team again. You can't be laying 240 here when you can't score. Can't be laying this.
I'll point this out with Konowitz.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 5.53 ERA and a 1.59 WHIP. He walks 4 plus batters per 9, 33 overall on the season. His walks prop is juiced at like minus 170 over 1.5. Aaron Judge to walk as low as minus 140. And we did see that against Soriano the other night when Judge was about 140 or 150. Again, Soriano was great, but that game went to extras, and eventually Judge did walk twice, and maybe that would be worth a play in the game. But I just – this is – I know that you think Aaron Boone still being the manager here is a complete joke.
Yankee fans feel the same way. I know Russo was ripping them today, too, for some of the decisions.
Be.
Yeah.
And Paul, if they're not going to get to Kyle Hendricks, who's throwing like 80 miles an hour –
That's
inexcusable.
Lindor's hitting 400 against Sale. O'Hearn's hitting 444 against Bradley. And Chirio's got good numbers against Tyone. Tyone has been on fire.
Yeah.
Won 5 in a row with an ERA under 2. And I'm anxious, interested to see how the kid from Milwaukee does after the 5 no-hit innings. Just a violent delivery. 6-7 kid. I know Jensen Lewis loves him. When we talked about him before he made his first start, and they took out St. Louis and Gray. So see how Mizorowski does tonight. Cubby's $1.60 at home. I also like the Reds again. Winner yesterday. Phony numbers. Abbott, that was garbage. Two outs, nobody on. And then throwing error. And then opens the floodgates. So four of the five runs were unearned. But the Reds rally. Minnesota's lost 9 of 11. Cincinnati's hot. Money on the Reds, I agree with it. And how do you not take the Astros? Severino at home, 0-6 with an ERA of 7 and change in 9 starts, and it's Valdez for Houston. $1.60 only.
You can't tell me that, right, this is like a blip on the radar. I get it. If you want to come back and say small sample size, that it is. But to expand on Severino's numbers so far, 6 road starts. So outside of this minor league park in Sacramento, his ERA is 0.93 with a sub-1 whip, and he has allowed a grand total of 0 home runs on the road. At home, you mentioned the 7-plus ERA. The whip is 1.56, and he has allowed 6 home runs at home here.
Yep.
In this small little minor league park, and it's going to be in the 90s at first pitch. It'll drop down into the high 80s. Winds are blowing out again, and Valdez has been on quite the mean streak here lately. I'll give you one more. How about Astros team total in the first 5?
Okay.
Over 2.5.
Really?
-110.
Juicy. Sign me up. Like that.
And a lot of the runs are coming in the first 5 innings here when they play in Sacramento games.
Yep. Co-sign on that one.
Yeah.
Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. To trigger the $500 try, you get $200 in cash back rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and we complete the try with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st. $200 value. The NFL guide comes out in a couple weeks. The $500 try from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. VSiN.com/GBank. VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Go get it.
Very busy program today. In about 35 minutes, David Sampson is going to join the program. Former longtime Marlins president on the show. What are the Red Sox thinking? And we'll expand on the Knicks as well. I said on the air the next day after Thibodeau was fired by New York, I don't think they have a game plan. Like, if they don't have the next guy lined up who they want to be his predecessor and take over as the head coach, it's a complete flop. And it's way worse than I ever imagined. There's no way that you could just say, you know what, not good enough. You have to win that. We need to get to the finals. You're gone, but we don't know what we're going to do next. Horrible job by New York.
And no interest in Kevin Durant either, which I thought was odd.
We will discuss the College World Series up next. Jimmy Yacht, ESPN Baton Rouge. Does he agree that the Razorbacks are favored in this game tonight?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
In Omaha, College World Series, bottom of the 6th. Coastal Carolina on top of Louisville, 8-3. Cardinals put on a couple to get back into this game a little bit closer anyway. And right now, the live line, Coastal Carolina is -50,000. Louisville is 25-1. You can grab +5.5 runs at +102 right now. Or if you think they can get back into it here, and Coastal might match them, the total is 14.5, Paulie. Over is juiced like 40 cents. And we'll talk more about the College World Series here as Jimmy Yacht joins the program now. He loves this event, and he's with ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge, and he is on the Progressive guest line. Jimmy, good to talk to you today. How are you?
Mitch and Paulie, man. Great to be with you, man. So sorry I missed you guys in Omaha. I'm glad you got a little taste of sort of how things are in the SEC.
Yeah, yes. it was pretty awesome. Not going to lie, as we kind of thought, you know, going into it. Has it been a profitable, you love betting the sport as well. Has it been a profitable college tournament and College World Series for you?
For the most part, the one round that got us was the opening round, the regional round. And man, you had fours upsetting ones, you know, some of the regionals that we thought were automatics, like, Eugene with Oregon, they get upset. They don't even win a game. Yeah. Highly controversial call on their game one against St. Mary's on that Friday night. But that was the one where it kind of flipped, you know, with all the chalk hitting in March Madness. And we know, you know, when Alabama's best players from Ohio and Florida's best players from Iona and so on. So it's harder for Cinderella to kind of, you know, keep it going in college basketball. But they flipped the script, man. It was way – this is way more of a chalk event normally, not the case in the regional round. Supers, a little bit kind of a predictable. Coastal, we've known about them. They are legit. The Sun Belt, they were 26-4 in the Sun Belt. They dominated. They came in with the long winning streak. And you know how hard it is to get a high RPI from a mid-major. Mm-hmm. Their RPI right now is number one in the country. So there was no surprise they went down to Auburn and beat them. Auburn had won all five SEC series at home. Auburn had never lost two games in a row at home. Coastal did exactly that. And now with this comfortable lead here, they get to save Morrison. He's the Sun Belt Pitcher of the Year. He's 12-0, shoved it down Oregon State's throat on Sunday night. He would be saved for probably, I think they're going to save him until that Sunday game, not the Saturday. Doesn't matter which one you start. I think he'll be there for the Sunday game, but he will be fresh and ready to go. And this Coastal team, they're not, the odds makers don't think they're on par with LSU and Arkansas, but book it. They are. They're legit. Mm. They were plus 650 entering the tournament, entering Omaha. We jumped on them at that point, and so got some value right now as they look like they're ready to punch their ticket for the second time to the championship series.
Oh, they've been absolutely awesome. Okay, so you answered that question. If you think they're good enough to win the whole thing, and clearly you think they are, what do you make of the betting number tonight? LSU, they have been dynamite. The fans showing up. Man, coming out of the woodwork, as they always do in Omaha now. And it was awesome to see in person last week. And Arkansas is favored, like, minus 130. They have to have the game. LSU does not have to have the game. So you think that minus 130 is about the right number tonight here in this matchup?
Hey, it's funny because Arkansas loses the first game, so they're in elimination games immediately. And so their pitching is going to be taxed. Both of these pitching staffs are good in their deep. But having to play that extra game, that has been neutralized a little bit because the rain came in the fourth inning when the starter, and it's Anderson and Ianson, a 1-1A. Anderson's going to go 1 or 2. He was phenomenal again Saturday night against Arkansas. Ianson, a little shaky early, but settled in. He only threw 40 pitches, so they wanted to get more of him. And then Evans, who's their ace, is the guy who struck out 9 batters in a row in the final game against Little Rock, the do or die game, you know, where, again, another underdog. How about that? Little Rock won back-to-back games at 7.5 run dogs in Baton Rouge. So, I mean, much less the money line. But Evans struck out 9 in a row. He came in again last night and finished off UCLA. He's probably not available. Anderson's not available tonight. And Ianson may be only in relief, we think, in 7th inning on. Yes, Root and in Wood have been used up as far as the two aces for Arkansas. But the thing is that the rain delay kind of neutralized it. Both teams, even though LSU's only played 2, Arkansas played 3, have both thrown 7 pitchers. I think Arkansas is getting more and more comfortable at the plate with every game as they, you know, because they looked a little jittery for about the first 15 innings at the plate. But they're getting more and more comfortable. SEC Player of the Year. He went oppo in his first at-bat in Alea and had another long triple. So I like Arkansas tonight, but then that would force LSU to come back with Anderson, and he's not – I would be shocked if he loses. So I think it's best-case scenario for Coastal, they use up Anderson before the championship series starts on Saturday. Another thing before I forget, guys, it's blowing out a little bit. This is an under park. I played every under in the Big Ten tournament when the wind was howling out. Yeah. Now look, the temperatures were mid to high 50, but they went 12-3 to the under, and that's what it was blowing out. And 2 of the 3 overs went over in the last at bat, similar to last night's games or yesterday afternoon and last night. Both of them went over in the very last inning. They were dead unders for a long time. Get it while you can, because guess what? Winter is coming, Jon Snow. Look, 20 to 30 mile per hour gusts blowing in from right center straight from the Missouri River for the championship series. 20 to 30 mile per hour gusts is going to play really big this weekend.
Yep, you know, greatest TV show of all time. You're the man, Jimmy. So elaborate on this fan base. And we just got a glimpse of it with the seafood gumbo and bringing in the tiger and the story of bringing in the gator and frying it up as well. What's some of the craziest stuff you've seen at tailgates with LSU over the years being there in Baton Rouge? An incredible fan base, and they're ready to buy you shots when they walk in the door.
I mean, it'll start in the morning. You know, they're whipping up crawfish omelets. I mean, of course, Bloody Marys and mimosas are everywhere. I mean, Jello shots. They don't need to go to Omaha to do Jello shots. They're all over the place. I mean, you know, funnels are. I mean, some of the most creative funnels, I guess you could say. But in October, September's a little hot down here, but in October, you could stroll through all through campus and outside of campus, and you got DJ, I mean, badass jukeboxes and, you know, on trailers and DJ booths and live bands, and everybody's cooking. You tell them, man, I'm from Vegas, first time here. Guess what? 90% of them going to feed you, going to, you know, go put you under the funnel, and, you know, be dancing with you before you go. So, and then when you get into the game, as the, you know, the sun, you know, right along the river, the sun setting, and just people are just screaming as they're going into the game, just fired up. They're all, you know, they're all juiced up. And if you got a big time opponent, it's at night. We played at night forever. You will get the chills are real. The chills are real. But it's all, we got to be a big time opponent. Got to be at night. Got to be decent weather. Again, September's too hot. And that's not just in Baton Rouge. That's in Tuscaloosa. That's in Athens. The Swamp when Spurrier was there was crazy. I mean, Auburn's a big time atmosphere. Look, man, this, you know, the original eight, you know, go one of those. I mean, you can go to Nashville, the number one spot for bachelorette parties. Lexington with Keeneland, Bourbon Tours, Oxford, you know, what do they call Miss American in Oxford? A seven. You know, I mean, look, it's everywhere. So, you know, I mean, it's a unique spot, man. And you know what? Finally, you're going to walk out the building the next day and you're going to be like, that stupid ass commercial with that dumb moniker just means more. I mean, it just hits a little bit different, I got to say. So I'm glad you got a little taste because my money's on that you guys will be down here for the fall at some location. I'll be glad to point you in the right direction.
That'd be amazing. What's the most exotic food that you've ever eaten that you think is actually pretty good?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, anything with crawfish is really good. You know what's really good that's going to be? It's soft-shell crawfish. And you could do them in a number of dishes. But, I mean, really, the thing that's really grown in this area is the char-grilled oysters. And, I mean, oysters are something that you had to develop a taste for. And, you know, they got them – we get them in the Gulf, get them in Mobile, you know, in the Alabama area in southern Louisiana. But the char-grilled and you know, the Drago's down in New Orleans was the first one to do it. Everybody's copied it. In fact, my dad shucked a sack of oysters. We put them on a char grill when the Saints beat the Colts. I had a house party back then. So, but those are the kids grow up eating a char grilled oysters. You can't go wrong with that. So, yeah, they're really, really good.
Jimmy, dynamite spot. Great to catch up. And good luck with the bets tonight moving forward and to LSU as well. Thank you for the time.
You guys are the best, man. Big fan. Take care.
There you go. You can follow him on X at Jimmy Yacht 1045 from ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge, and he was on the Progressive guest line. Crawfish omelets.
I'm in.
I tried that for sure.
I wanted that seafood gumbo, too.
So did I.
But it wasn't ready.
The kid's got an oar. He's standing up like this. He's like...
Yeah. Just waiting.
Okay. They don't mess around.
No, they don't. That is a real quote, too, from the interim coach of the Rockies. A lot of ball left. Don't let us get hot.
That's a parody account.
No, no.
Yeah, it's a parody account.
No.
We got to confirm it for another source. Maybe we have time. Maybe it really is a thing.
Yeah.
Win some, lose some is up next. I poo-pooed his chances of winning on the show yesterday. Then he goes out and does that. Time to re-examine one day later here and Follow the Money. It's Visa and the Sports Betting Network.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Lot to recap as the season's over. We start with Game 6. Corey Perry shots on goal prop went 6-0. He got it early in the first period. Ekholm, blocks went over as well. 13-1 over-run to close with that prop. All six first periods went over in the Stanley Cup. goal in the first five, plus 190. Florida, the first team with two goals in the first period in all six games. Empty net goal by Florida, plus 250. Exact score, 49-1. Kachuk anytime, plus 220. Reinhardt, first goal, 12-1. Two goals, 16-1. Podkolzin, anytime goal, 15-1. Most shots on goal, Wallman, 60-1.
Probably higher. What did he finish with?
I think he had five. I think five got
it
done.
He had some moments in the series.
Yeah. Yep. Before the season, Florida 9-1 to repeat. Before the cup, Sam Bennett, 30-1, Conn Smythe, 110-1 when the playoffs started. Panthers in six, plus 475. Most goals in the series, Reinhardt, 8-1. Vicious beat if he had Marchand. Guy has to have four goals to beat you. Two empty net. The one goes, you know, banks off him and goes in for the other one.
Well, how was the beat if you had no hat trick in the series, Paulie?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's significant juice. Marchand, four-plus goals in the series, 10-1. Bennett, plus 550. Exact order of game result, 45-1.
So it went, let me guess here. Oilers, Panthers, Panthers, Oilers, Panthers, Panthers?
Correct. Yep. Most points, Reinhardt, 14-1. USA has won 31 cups in a row.
Did you see Elk goals at all last night?
That
two and a half, three and a half?
Yeah, big price, yeah. Yeah. Imagine if that would have gone over again, too, with the shenanigans. Rockies plus 170. Angels 2-1. Soto to go deep, 4-1. And breaking news, free Karen. Karen Reed, not guilty. I know Richie's got a little party going on at Dedham, Mass. That just came in as well.
Was that the right decision? You were all over this.
It was the right call. Okay. And if you watch the documentary on HBO, they got it right. She has a hell of a defense team. Subscribe.
Is the documentary worth watching?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Subscribe. Good job, Luke. He concur. Subscribe. Be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Pool time. First day. Let's go. Pool's open. Dogs come in. There's got to be 30 of them here. Some of them go pitty-patter, right? Just want to lean into it. Other guys just jump right in, head first, and let's go. It's hot out there. Got to cool off. Big party. They all come in. I love that. So many good videos up on Instagram when they open the door and the gate, and the dogs are ready to go.
I've never seen a pool like that before. I don't even know what that was.
Yeah. How about this? Look at the dog. He'll smile. Hey, how you doing? Hey, there's the smile. The dog actually smiling at the person. He's laying down behind the human.
Oh, I believe in it. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
This happens when I get home. The dogs go nuts. They have smiles on their faces.
There's the smile right there. But hey, how you doing? Yeah,
sure. Does your dog wake you up in the morning?
Yes. He's got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, it's every morning clockwork now. It's been like this for months.
Mm-hmm.
They will jump on me exactly like at 6 o'clock in the morning, panting, trying to lick my face. Like, yeah, sure. Let's go right now.
Sure. My guy's so smart. Like, this is during the day. He'll come up and put his paw on my knee and point his head
back at the door.
To the door, the direction of the door. Like,
time
I got
to go.
Incredible. Corey Perry, lose some. He's made the Stanley Cup Finals five of the last 6 years and lost each time. Unbelievable. That is vicious. WNBA, Storm Sparks under. 162.5 to 155. Bad for the books. I got a fever. 15.5 to 17.5. It fell 17.
Ooh.
And the Storm, no Plum. 1.5 up to 8.5, won by 30. Shoemaker was all over that he followed the steam, and once it got to 3, he jumped in as well and grabbed that. Bad beats. Marchand, most goals in the series, 20-1. Reinhardt gets 4 last night. Sam Bennett, to have a point in every game, was 23-1. He didn't have one yesterday. Mets and under, 4-1 in the 8th. Bullpen blows it. They lose 5-4. And the Aces, WNBA, plus 13. Up big in the first half. They lost by 14. What happened there?
Outscored, I think, by 23 in the second half.
Oh, brutal. Before the line moves, the sharp plays at sharpplays.com already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar books or full-time pro bettors on your own, but the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. Free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights delivered right to you via email or X. They've been doing this since 2011. Receipts, logs, results right there on the site. Documented. SharpPlays.com. trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out, sharpplays.com.
I said in this segment yesterday, while the PCA MVP tickets were fun while they lasted, that was based on Ohtani coming back and pitching earlier than anticipated. And Ohtani, because of that, even though he was not great in that one inning against the Padres the other night, he moved to a $6 favorite to win the National League MVP. And I said it's going to take an Ohtani injury. I still kind of think that it's going to. But later on in the evening, Pete Crow Armstrong for the Cubs put on quite the display. He not only hit a solo home run to lead off the bottom of the eighth inning, that was on the heels of the top of the eighth inning, where he made just this majestic play in center field to save, you know, it would have been a double, who knows, maybe a triple, but he comes flying in and somehow makes that catch like in left field. And I don't watch every Cubs game, but I've seen enough of him play this year to know how good he is defensively, but evidently he does something like that almost every single game. And his defensive numbers, like at Fangraphs, are astronomical. They're through the roof, and his WAR overall is bonkers high. Right there with Ohtani, and he's like behind Judge and Raleigh, I think, for the best in all of baseball. The numbers are still the same, but he did that last night. And again, people are making the case in Chicago like they've never seen anything like this. Hmm. And if they're a first place team, they have the highest run differential in baseball.
Yeah.
And if they're a first place team at the end of the year, if he continues to do this, like, he needs to be in the conversation to win the award.
Come on, get there. And dare I say, Ohtani fatigue. Can I do it?
Is that a thing? I think people love Ohtani.
From the voter standpoint, it's just like, wow, we know he's the best player, but is he going to win it every year? Jordan didn't win it every year.
Right. Like, I don't think it's possible for him to be average. Like, yeah, I think Ohtani's going to put up unbelievable numbers, so it's going to be difficult to beat him without an injury.
Someone's got to go above and beyond. Uh-huh.
But I've been saying all year long, like, I also love PCA because he's cocky, and I think it's kind of fun to listen to him talk, but he's also likable. So this was him talking to the media, like, after that catch, once the game was over, by the way, in a tight game in which the Cubs won last night.
I have no clue. I just think that's always been there, you know, the motor. And 324 sounds like a lot, but no, that's always been there. You know, I love being out there every day, and I love diving and sliding and banging into stuff. So that's what I live for.
Very easy to root for. He was asked about the motor and, you know, why it's always running. To me, the basketball player I think about is Russell Westbrook, who's always had a great motor. And this guy's like, I love sliding, man. Love diving, love banging into stuff. I'll do whatever I got to do. And he makes plays like defensively almost every single game. So, and they're good. They're not going to go anywhere.
I should win that division.
Cubs are legit.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a 90-plus win team.
I think
certainly playoffs, obviously, at that rate. And maybe a contender once they can actually get into the National League. National League is absolutely loaded. NL is loaded to the gills.
Well, the whole thing's wide open. You don't think?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You can see a surprise team making a deep run. Yep.
Look at this run by the Astros in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
You want to write that team off?
I would take them over Seattle to win the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got a bunch of young guys hitting now. This Cam Smith, who's a rookie, went deep twice last night. He was great. They've had, you know, Pena's been awesome for this long stretch, and we're going to see Valdez go tonight against the A's, and Valdez has picked it up, and he's been fantastic lately. So it's not only like that 1-2 punch of Valdez and Hunter Brown, but they're good, and who else is really good in the American League?
Mm-hmm.
Tigers are good. Are the Yankees good?
They'll be tough in October, I think, the pitching. But, yeah, the offense is cause for concern.
Sure.
Jimmy Yates, right. Coastal, the real deal. 10-3 in the seventh.
There you go. More runs.
Be 25 wins in a row. Pittsburgh and Detroit postponed. No Scooble
tonight, huh?
Boston and Seattle 1-1, bottom of the third.
All right. So tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, go ahead.
Yep. I'm going to say we're going to go inside Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria. We're opening up the tip jar, by the way. It's brought to you by the best pizza in Texas, Mama's Pizza. Jordan, awesome owner, listens to the show, watches the show all the time. If you want to have your pizza money play featured tomorrow in the pizzeria, you can drop it in the tip jar. You can email the show. FTM@vsin.com is the best way with your play, your name, and your state. Again, FTM@vsin.com is the email. They're also coming in fast and furious on X at VSin Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, and at Pauly Howard.
Oh, whoa.
That's a bombshell in the NBA?
Whoa.
Did I see that correctly?
You did.
Okay, well, say what it is quick.
The Buss family is selling the Lakers.
Well, we have a great guest next. David Sampson, a longtime president of Major League Baseball, joins the program.